Let's turn to the domestic political landscape, which is running very hot heading into the July 4th weekend. Start with the story about Sister Leticia Ugboaja, a Nigerian-born Catholic nun who was arrested by ICE while walking to church in McAllen, Texas on Sunday. She was detained and then released after what her bishop described as bipartisan congressional intervention. The bishop's description of the arrest as wildly disturbing carries particular weight because religious leaders rarely use that kind of language in public statements about law enforcement actions.
This story sits at the intersection of several live debates simultaneously. It touches on the scope of immigration enforcement under the Big Beautiful Bill framework, the legal status of religious workers in the United States, and the political optics of an administration conducting high-visibility enforcement actions in the days leading up to a national holiday focused on American ideals. The fact that congressional intervention was required and that it worked on a bipartisan basis suggests even some Republican lawmakers found this particular arrest difficult to defend.
DHS Secretary Mullen's message to Haitian TPS holders this week is the policy context for understanding that arrest. Mullen is offering $2,600 and a plane ticket to anyone who voluntarily self-deports, while warning that those who are forcibly deported lose any future chance to return to the United States. Temporary protected status for Haitians covers hundreds of thousands of people who came to the U.S. after the 2010 earthquake and subsequent crises in Haiti. The DHS is essentially creating an incentive structure designed to reduce the enforcement burden while achieving the same deportation outcome.
The Big Beautiful Bill's financial allocations tell you the priority ordering clearly. DHS received roughly $191 billion, including $75 billion for ICE and $65 billion for Border Patrol. To put that in perspective, the entire annual budget of the State Department is around $60 billion. Immigration enforcement is now being funded at a level that rivals the United States' entire diplomatic apparatus.
The nearly 500,000 New Yorkers losing Medicaid coverage under HR 1 cuts is the other side of that ledger. Every dollar going to ICE and Border Patrol has to come from somewhere. And in the budget arithmetic of HR 1, a significant portion came from Medicaid reductions. New York has one of the most expansive Medicaid programs in the country, and the state is now confronting what a 500,000 people losing coverage looks like in real terms. Emergency room utilization, deferred care, downstream public health costs.
Newsom signing a 100% tax on Trump anti-weaponization fund payouts is California doing what it does, using state tax policy as a counter-political instrument. The Anti-Weaponization Fund is a mechanism through which the Trump administration has been channeling resources to allies who file legal or political actions against perceived enemies of the administration. Taxing those payouts at 100% effectively makes receiving them financially meaningless for California residents. Acting AG Blanche calling Newsom's claims about DOJ targeting not grounded in fact is the federal response, and this federal-state legal battle looks set to run for years.
And falling short of expectations in front of national media on the country's 250th birthday would be a narrative problem the administration clearly wants to avoid.
Democrats allege that Trump allies misled donors to fund Freedom 250 events, with a House report accusing the organization of diverting $100 million in taxpayer funds and misleading donors about how anniversary contributions would be used. That accusation, whether it ultimately proves out legally, adds a layer of scrutiny to the political staging of this entire anniversary weekend. And retired military leaders backing governors who are refusing to deploy National Guard units to Washington, D.C. for these events signals that the civil-military tension around domestic political mobilization of military resources has not gone away.
The progressive Fight Club senators defying Chuck Schumer on 2026 primary endorsements is a story about the future direction of the Democratic Party more than it is about any individual race. The Iowa Senate race being a dead heat in dueling polls, and John Hickenlooper winning the Colorado Democratic Senate primary, round out a primary picture in which the Democratic Party is genuinely contested between its establishment and progressive wings, heading into a midterm cycle that both sides see as critical.